Just what is a trending topic?
A trending topic is a word or phrase that is tagged at a greater rate than other tags.
This is a trending topic.
Hashtag tunes.
Stop growing up and grow down with Jack and Brian as they rejoin the Trending Topics Network.
Hashtag tweet the table.
Get ready to have your face slammed through a table of wrestling knowledge as Captain Austin and T-Mac bring you the Spanish Announce Table.
Hashtag Weekend Box Office.
Join Mr. Old School and his panel of critics as they are your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news.
Hashtag Mobile Technology.
Take a bite out of the mobile space on trending mobile technology as Piper the DJ breaks down iOS, Microsoft, BlackBerry, and many things in between. This is the brand new Trending Topics Network.
Better check in every day.
Because you never know what's going to be trending next.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
Tazdingo! Yes!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 90 for September 11th, 2014. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like the Spanish Announce Table, Tunes, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com, or you could tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMoviesDOTnet. And before I introduce the panel, two quick things. If you're about to download a podcast on oldschoolmovies.net, currently there's an issue with the domain. I am transferring it from GoDaddy, which is a absolute piece of crap, to Hover, and the domain is currently expired, so I'm kind of working on getting that. That should be resolved by next week. So if you want to listen to the podcast, I would just recommend going to trendingtopicsnetwork.com straight for the next week or so, then you'll have the option for the two. Second, a quick tidbit of information. If you want to get in touch with us, normally, you know, you're going to send us an email. But if you want, we're going to try to make it easier because usually the only person that gets in touch with us is Piper the DJ. So I'm going to steal this from the Spanish Announce Table. If you want to tweet OSATM, if you want to tweet hashtag OSATM for Old School at the Movies and say whatever you want movie related, we will mention it at the end of the show. All right. Without further ado, let's introduce our massive panel for this week. 71 episodes in a row, heavy set.
Just keeping the streak going, keeping it alive. And I can't wait till I'm going to sit down and watch a movie, and instead of hashtag tweet table, hashtag OSATM or whatever.
Yeah. Captain Awesome, go fuck yourself. Hashtag tweet the table.
So OS ass to mouth? You never go
operating system ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
Never go ass to mouth. We have, speaking of ass to mouth, we have Will.
Hey guys, ready for some cock talk?
We have Carp.
I am definitely not ready
for some cock talk. We have D-Ren.
Hashtag OSATM. Carp sucks, so you legally have to say it.
We'll mention it at the end of the show. And we have hashtag KeboTrek.
I am the Brock to Heavy's Undertaker.
Wow. Them fighting words there, Heavy.
Well, he is the original, but he had to miss something way back when. And then it was Carp, and then for 71 straight weeks, it's been me.
No, stop.
It's me. It's me. It's Heavy Seth.
We're going to shy away from our traditional format and steal Heavy Seth's show title for his show. And essentially, it's going to be anything goes on this show. It's called the Random Roundtable. We're going to mention anything movie-related, so stuff we've seen, thoughts on actors' cocks. Maybe Will might like to get into Michael Fassbender.
or whatever you guys want to talk about. Actors, technology, DVDs you want to watch, stuff that's coming out, what you're excited for. We're going to throw the microphone to Mr. Heavy Set, our Iron Man. What would you like to discuss?
Something that I mentioned before we started recording. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, and I'll just – there's probably not going to be many comments on it. But there was two books that I've read or slash listened to on audio, because that's such a weird phrase. Like, it's almost like, yeah, I've read that book, instead of, no, I've listened to that book. Who says that?
Kebbo Trek hates when I mention that, because I listen to Audible books, and I say that I read it. He's like, you didn't read it. You didn't even listen to it.
But who's like? But who says that? It just sounds so weird. Like, yeah, I listened to that book. That's like saying, yeah, I love that song. I lick it all the time. It just doesn't make sense. But there's two books that I've listened to, that I've watched the movies for, watched them within the past week or two. One being, and I'm gonna, normally when I do my movie reviews, I normally give you if you should like see it or not and blah, blah, blah. This one, I'm actually going to be judging it on how it is from the book and if it's worth seeing or the book is better. The first one is called A Long Way Down. It just came out on DVD today. And all I'm going to say is this movie, compared to the book, it horrible. Like, I understand when you turn something from a book to a movie, you're going to have to cut out some things here and there.
Ender's Game.
But when you cut things out, they need to be minimal. And they got to be like, you can think about it and go, oh, well, you know, that wasn't really needed. That wasn't really that important. But there were parts from the book for A Long Way Down that, like, they just, like, would skip over. Pretty much the first part of the book was kind of used as their opening scene where they go through a lot of character development, like, where you're learning stuff about them. Because the book is written in the perspective of all four people that are involved. And it jumps from in between them from time to time to tell the whole story. So I understand you're not going to have that, but there were just things cut away. One of the women involved in it, she has a mentally handicapped son, and they don't really get much in it about him, and I thought that was kind of a slight because there was so much more to her character because of her son. The ending of the book is not a big favorite of mine, and the way they ended it, they actually like added an ending, and it was just kind of like, when me and my girlfriend watched it, we spent the whole time going, well, they skipped that. Well, they skip that. What the fuck is this? So if you're going to be between the book and the movie, I am suggesting the book or go on to Audible. It's a decent listen through. The next one on my list is it's a young adult book. It's called Fault in Our Stars. It's very it's a love story between two teenagers with cancer. It is definitely a love story for teenagers and young adults and blah, blah, blah. Like I watched it and listened to the book. Even like I could just see that. I'm like, that's what they're going for. But you don't get a love story where one of the female lead, she has thyroid cancer and she has the breathing tube that she carries the tank with her. I forget what it's actually called, but she carries that with her. And the male lead, who's an amputee, had one, like part of his leg amputated off. They never really showed that much of it, so they don't really, I think it's like maybe from the knee down, and to me that's very unusual in a movie or in a book, so that was what was kind of interesting about it. That's why it's not just the normal,
yeah, you figure story. It's going to be some kind of like Mandy Moore cancer thing,
yeah. And the rating that I give on this is it holds up very well to the book. After I listened to the audiobook, which anything that I've listened to on audiobook, I've waited to watch the trailer afterwards so I get to see how everything goes. And when I watched the trailer for this movie, there was a lot of lines said in the trailer that was exactly from the book, and I like that. And if you're going to see this, you could go either way, whether you go to the movie or go to the book, but just understand it is a young adult, it is that romance, it's a whatever genre, it's
definitely chick flick.
Yeah, thank you. It's that. Don't expect this fantastic movie, but I do like some of the things they did with it. I think one of the most notable actors in it is, his name's on the tip of my tongue, the original
Green Goblin. How is he notable if you don't know who it is?
Well, the original Green Goblin in Spider-Man.
Willem Dafoe?
Willem Dafoe, yes, thank you. He's a character in the movie. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, yeah, he's a love interest.
He's a love interest. Okay. Yeah.
Heavy. My young cousin had a picture on Facebook, and it was about the lead guy who she finds very handsome. And it's just a picture of his face. It says no wonder she was... Wait, and it says no wonder she was always out of breath.
I thought you were going to ask about his cock. So I'm like, I think
No.
I thought you were going there too.
It's not my segment yet. Time will come.
The cock talk. The cock will come.
Okay, if you want to know this, there is a like a sex scene in the movie. They don't show it. They don't show anything. So you have to like do your own measurements on it. So
does she keep the tubes on?
No.
No, she takes it off so she could like almost do like autoerotic asphyxiation to herself.
This show has reached a new level.
Guys, wait! Before I break a carp, I thought that only worked with men. That is not correct.
It's a joke, dude.
Okay.
It's a joke.
I'm curious.
Let's quickly segue the fuck out of this conversation. Heavy mentioned something interesting, just general topic for the panel. Books converted to movies. And for people who have actually seen the book, it's more that different aspect. You know, people who haven't seen
the book. How do you see a book?
Seen the book?
Well, that's some lazy reader.
I think Kevo Chuck said that one time too.
Nah, dude, we caught you on that multiple times.
How do you? All
right, so
no, hold on. How do you see the book? You go to the bookstore and you go, "Hey, look, there's the book. I see the book. Done."
Okay, yeah, but you listen to a book, so shut the fuck up. Then what's the difference? Same difference. Okay, so for those who have read the book, it's going to be a different dynamic. You know, like for. I'll give you an example for Ender's Game. I didn't see the book, you know? So, and I did that purposely. I didn't read the book, but when I watched the movie, I still enjoyed it. But Kebo Trek is going to enjoy it for a different reason. For you guys who read books and then go see the movie, like, doesn't it kind of spoil it because you know what's going to happen? Or is it just, it's all about the visualization of what you read?
Yeah, it's that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Kebo.
Yeah, I was pretty much going to say the same thing. It's kind of like you're seeing the world you imagined brought to life. And like you can kind of get to see if the way you thought of it, you know, is that the way the creators or the people making the movie thought about it. So I don't think it ruins it at all. I think it just adds to it because you're seeing something you imagine and your own way of looking at it and you're seeing it come to life. So to me, it makes it more enjoyable because I pick out things from the movie. I'm like, oh, yes, that was in the book. That was in the book. They did that right. So even though you know what's going to happen, it's more about the journey there rather than how it ends.
My issue with that would be, you know, you're something that you visualize in your imagination. Will it ever live up to the hype of what somebody else interprets it as?
I say yes. I'll give you an example. I read Lord of the Rings, and movies...
Oh, that's the movie where they're walking all the time, right?
Sure.
And
but
then
the book
guy
is worse.
In Frodo's
the
mouth?
The book is... people like the book, sure, but the guy seems to really like describing stuff, so he skips over the action, and he'll describe a brooch instead that they found on the floor, and he'll describe the songs that the Ents are singing. There's none of that in the movie. It's pretty much, you think it's boring there, you think there's not much walking, there's a lot more walking in the book, and he skips the action totally. He goes towards the battle scene, and it's over already. The next chapter is like after the battle scene. So the movie actually shows it to you. In The Hobbit, there is a character in the book that turns into a bear, and I really found that fascinating, and I was imagining his transformation. And they never talk about him transforming in the book. It just says that this is a man, he's a big man, and sometimes he transforms into a bear. But you never see him transform into a bear, you just see him as a man or a bear. The second film that came out just last year shows the transformation, so I found that intriguing. However, in most cases, I prefer the book, but I did want to point out Lord of the Rings.
And that's one thing, though. Like, I think 99% of the time, you will like the book better, just because of they can't include everything. But like that's the thing with me with Ender's Game. The book was a lot better, but it still didn't take away from the fact that I can enjoy the movie. Even though, like, it was obvious it would work better as a TV show rather than a movie. And I guess this is true with a lot of books. You have to cut a lot out. You have to rush through some things when you're transitioning into a movie. And obviously that's understandable, but, you know, when you read the book, you're like, oh, I want to see every single thing in it. And obviously it's not possible with a movie.
Well, like, for example, Watchmen. I mean, that's a comic book turned into a movie. And the guy went panel for panel, so he actually had a visual guide. And even if he had the visuals down pat, the fact that he had omitted a few things or put more action elsewhere so that it would take away from the boredom. Because a movie, you're stuck. You have to make it less boring. In a book, there's no rules. So to do that, I believe it's by the 60-minute mark, you have to have an action scene. Regardless of the movie you have, it has to be that pivotal moment where, in Indiana Jones, where they find the Ark, for example, it has to be a pivotal moment. If you don't have that, if you have just two people talking, your script is worth
Kevin
nothing.
Smith movies.
But another thing is, a big difference is you're losing a lot of that introspection or self-introspecting.
Yeah, you are.
Where in a book, like obviously you can see what's in someone's head, but if you're transitioning that to a movie, you know, you can't have someone doing 5-minute dialogues to himself in his head or something like that. So it's kind of harder to see motivations or stuff like that that you would see in a book.
Okay, the whole point of a movie is they often say, like, show, don't tell. Whereas a book, it's all tell. It has to be.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's a big problem there.
There are pictures in a book as well, but okay. Okay, true or false?
I'm kidding, go ahead.
True or false, a comic book is easier to adapt to a movie than a book?
False.
True and false.
No, because they both have the same constraints. The only one I think worked really well was Sin City, because the guy had written it as a script. He had a movie in mind when he did it.
Watchmen came across pretty damn good.
No, I don't know. I guess my favorite part, they totally butchered it, so I felt...
Tell me it wasn't the Space Squid.
No. It was how Rorschach comes to life. He handcuffs a guy and leaves him in the house to burn, whereas in the movie, he just starts hacking away at this guy's head.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he took some liberties, but you gotta admit, Alan Moore, like, his ending and some of his stuff in Watchmen, the changes they made were perfectly acceptable, in my opinion, in the movie. So, but that's me.
Okay.
All right, Will. In fact, I wanted to might as well throw the floor to you.
By the way, guys, fair warning, I will not disappoint. Now, I do want to talk about movies that we can't get out of our heads sometimes. A movie I just watched, and I don't know if I like it at all. I don't know. It's a weird film. It's a film where when you read, let's say, the Wikipedia summary, instead of telling you it's a story of this, it just describes a few scenes. So it goes from a scene to a scene to a scene, and they're obviously related because they're all with the same person. But you don't necessarily feel the narrative connection. A movie like Primer is an example of that. Anyways, the movie that I watched was called Under the Skin, and it's Scarlett Johansson. And you actually, for a brief moment, I will derail the conversation entirely. You get to see female nudity in this film. If anybody was ever curious about what Scarlett Johansson looks naked, the film shows it to you fully. You see everything.
She's not in the fappening or whatever the fuck that thing is?
No, she does full frontal, but...
Okay.
No, this is everything. This is clearly everything.
Full frontal.
That's yeah, full frontal. Yeah.
Vagina.
You see bush? Yeah, it's all there. It's all there.
But vagina.
But the point, though, is that you have to know what the premise is in order to know what you're watching. Because or else you would just see a woman that abducts men, and then they swim into a dark pool, and their skin peels off. That's what the movie is, principally. You realize, I guess, that she's not human. So going to the movie, I read the premise, oh, it's an alien abducting men. That's what it is. We don't really get a sense. It's weird. It's just a scene of her abducting a guy and abducting another guy and abducting another guy. And every time the same thing. They go into a room that is now pitch black. So you're not really sure if you're seeing what she's seeing or what he's seeing. You don't know. But then she walks away from them. They follow her. She strips. They strip. She strips fully. They strip fully, so you see at least 3 male penises in the movie. And then you do. It was way a lot. It was a
respect the cock.
So yeah, you see three penises. Some are hard,
respect
some are not.
The cock.
Some are hard, some are not. And then they sink. They as they walk towards her, they sink into a dark pool. That's pretty much the most movie, and one of the cases that the guy is actually heavily deformed in his face, and I was like, man, we can see this guy naked too, and you fully do, you see penises. But
respect the cock.
Good job. Do you have him saying giant erect penis?
Tame the cunt.
No, dude, go on YouTube. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I will drop kick the fucking dogs if they come near me.
Do you have giant erect penis?
I don't have giant erect penis.
Okay, wait. This is too good.
He's got a giant erect
penis! Oh, penis, bitch!
fucking erect penis, Mom!
Respect the cock.
So you were saying.
Anyways.
Respect the cock.
Can I keep going?
Sure.
Anyways, but the movie's just really weird, because in the end, you don't really know what happened. She dies, you get to see her alien robot body, but that's it. You don't really get a sense of how she got there, what's going on, why are they abducting men, why are they taking their skin, why are they eating them. It was very bizarre, and I was wondering if there's any movie that you guys saw that you just, you're not sure if you like it or not. Is it being too artistic? Is there a limit to a movie that's too artistic? Do you say, fuck it, when something is just not... doesn't have a clear narrative.
So. You know what I really enjoyed? I'm going to bring up Kevin Smith again.
Yeah,
a clear, like, what the fuck movie? Red State. I don't know if I love it or I hate it.
Mm.
There's no clear good guys. There's no clear ABC storyline. And I love the fact that I don't know if I love it.
What is it? Do you mind if I ask what it's about? Would that be a hard
question? Yeah, what's that cult that protests, like, dead soldiers and stuff?
The Westboro Baptist Church.
So it's kind of like a Westboro play, and the FBI goes in and stuff, but there's no clear good guy in the movie. They're all bad.
Hmm.
So you don't have, like, a good guy to cheer for.
A point of reference, right? You don't have any of that.
That's the thing, and that's what I love about it. It's just like... you just feel uneasy watching the movie.
Okay, that's fine.
Because you don't know who to go for. And it's like, there's no like clear path where it's going or just... And at the end of it, you're like, what the fuck was this?
I want to know, old school, could it have ended at any other time and it would have been just as odd? Or when it ended, you were like, okay, it's going to end now. Or you never felt
Yeah, I pretty much knew where it was going to end, but it's just like, it was kind of like Lebowski where there was no clear, like, it just, okay, that's what it is.
You're yeah, right. you don't know the good guy if it's the FBI or if it's you're rooting for the two young guys or the...
Yeah, it's like you're almost rooting for the Westboro Baptist Church at some point. You're like, what the fuck is this? That's what I like about it. It's just, it's a bit of a mind fuck. Donnie Darko, too, I still don't get it. I don't know what that thing was, the fuck that was.
Well, we'll talk about mind fucks in a later podcast. But yeah. But more about like feeling uneasy. Is there a movie that you guys felt uneasy watching?
Uneasy in what Kevbo? Sense? In what Car- sense? Uneasy in what sense?
I don't know. You might regret having watched it. Like, you're not sure. Like what old school? He's not sure if he liked it or not.
I know D-Ren regretted watching Magic Mike. Apparently.
How so?
Respect the cock.
I wouldn't say
actually.
Regretted watching it. Hey, stop interrupting me, fuckface. I wouldn't say a movie I completely regret it watching, but one scene that made me uncomfortable was in Irreversible when Monica Bellucci's getting raped and the cameraman just like puts down the camera and kind of makes you watch her get raped in the alley. I was like kind of uncomfortable watching that scene. Like I know it was fake and cinematic and stuff, but you're just like, holy shit. And it's like, I want to go in there and help her, but I can't because I'm just...
Was it a... Carp, was it a French film originally or...
It is French.
Okay. It is French. All right.
That's one scene that always made me uncomfortable, but as a movie as a whole, it was a great movie. So.
Would you recommend it?
I would definitely recommend checking it out.
Do you see Bellucci naked?
At least once. Oh, yeah.
You see him naked at least once, yeah.
Super hot French female Bellucci. Not a dude, a chick.
I know. It's all good.
But
all good.
All right. Will does love the cock. He's going to want to watch the...
Respect
director's
the
cut
cock.
Version of Infomaniac from what I've seen in the trailer, so...
All right, Carp, let's throw it to you, man. What do you want to discuss?
Why has this year been such an epic flop for the box office?
It's piracy.
That's it?
Which movie?
Everything.
Everything's a flop now. Guardians is doing well. Transformers
is
doing well.
This has been the worst performing year in 13 years.
Really?
Yeah.
But how could it be?
That's why. Why do you think they're...
It could be just this year that was so great? Like, there's no Batman this year. There's no Avengers, right? There was
Iron Man.
I think it was just a question of, you know, a lack of films, like the big blockbusters. I think piracy has a lot to do with it.
Are you looking at just U.S. figures or worldwide figures?
I'm going to go with...
Because we are seeing that shift.
Yeah.
Of a lot of that gross now. A lot of movie companies are relying on the worldwide gross now.
Yeah, especially China. It's such a huge number now. I mean, this weekend alone, Guardians took back number one spot with only $10 million. And then the number one film that everybody thought was going to make money, Identical, wasn't even a top 10.
See, I never heard of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, there just wasn't a competitor to Guardians. Just like Frozen was number one for a long time.
There hasn't been a big September blockbuster either. Usually this is a quieter month. So I think that's kind of normal. But yeah, Carp does bring up a good point that this year doesn't seem – we don't have that $300-400 million film. The highest grossing one is Galaxy, and it's done under three. So yeah, it's a very good point he brings
up. Yeah, but then again, guys, we haven't had The Hobbit yet, and we haven't had Hunger Games. Is that coming out this year? Yeah.
Hunger Games Part 1 of 2.
Well, see, that's there you're going to see the – it's just the big movies now somehow are more – are there. No?
I don't know.
But we don't have a summer blockbuster.
If I were a Hollywood exec or something, I would try and maybe have a different movie come out outside the normal – like sector. You're telling me that people are only going to go during the summer? I mean, Labor Day weekend wasn't all that great this year from what I could see. Why not have something on Labor Day weekend? Why not have something the weekend after where people are like, oh, I'm back to work. You know what? I'm going to go out Friday. I'm going to go watch a movie. Why not have it there? So why is Hollywood not taking event? If they don't see something coming out, why not put something in that week?
The weekend after Labor Day is apparently the worst weekend for like movies, like I guess – like in terms of like people going to see them and like profits. So that's why a lot of the companies are not scheduling movies.
Yeah.
But why haven't they? Why haven't they? Have they done it in the past and it's been proven wrong? Or has there really ever been a large blockbuster that's coming out the weekend after? That's what I'm wondering.
Not really.
No.
And Mr. Old School is having fun with the soundboard.
Where are you getting these sound clips, Old School? Are you just looking at YouTube
really?
Or what?
The internet. Have you heard of it?
No, not the internet.
What's the internet?
Oh, really?
Is that like a series of tubes?
No.
Stallone?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, all right.
All right, okay. Adira, and let's throw it to you.
Okay, I think I'd like to talk about something that recently popped up, and not Will's cock, in the past couple
gonna
of years.
I was going to make that now. Joke. I was going to be like, my wow. cock?
No.
It's actually the I messed up that word.
English, anyway, please.
The English, the advent of rebooting the reboots. So basically, like, Spider-Man getting a reboot, or Superman getting multiple reboots, and even just recently, apparently Underworld, which came out, I don't know, what, like 10 years ago, is getting a reboot. So the fact that these, I know they're doing it for profit, but does it hurt the artistic integrity by kind of having like a new Spider-Man every couple years or like a different take? So that's my question.
You know what, what
artistic integrity was there in Underworld in the first place?
I guess there's not really artistic integrity in the certain movies, but I mean, are they saturated, oversaturated in the market with like putting a new Spider-Man? I don't think this Spider-Man has done really well as executives really wanted it to. So
Spider-Man was done so they could keep the rights to Sony. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why it was done.
That's all it is, correct.
And why everything is being redone is because Hollywood has no fucking original idea left in their brains.
Yeah, because
I would disagree with that. Sorry to interrupt, D-Ren. There are a lot of people with a lot of creative ideas. The problem is they're too afraid, the movie companies, to bank on them. They're going the safe route. They're losing money, so they're trying to play it safe and trying to rehash Spider-Man 55 instead of risking $100 million on a new franchise that could go bust and they could go bankrupt.
Wait, but yes, yeah, I mean, this is the year where we're getting Interstellar, you know?
That's because Chris Nolan's attached to it.
Yeah.
If some no-name director comes in, like, I got Interstellar, they're going to be like, shut the fuck up.
make a Kevin Smith movie. I want a film. I've made a $16 horror flick in my backyard. Like,
is it on Carp's bargain bin? I want to review it.
Hey, I have a good idea for an episode coming up. I'm going to throw some bargain bin titles out there, and everybody has to watch them and see what they say. And they're not all going to be terrible horror movies.
Will they all be sharks?
No, they're not all going to be sharks. I got some.
No.
Will they all have boobs?
Some will have boobs, yes. Mm.
I was debating on doing something similar because there's a lot of these truck stops that have these cheap DVDs, and some of them I've never even heard of. A lot of them I haven't even heard of, and they're not these bigger titles either. They're meant to be that cheap for a reason, but it's just I don't – actually, it's my laptop doesn't have a DVD, doesn't have a CD tray. If I had it, I would be more inclined to like just randomly be like, I watched this crappy movie that I only paid $2 for.
Hey, man, that's why the bin is so good. Like, Carb never knows what he's going to get half the time.
Exactly. But I mean, yeah, it doesn't cost much in terms of money, but doesn't it cost stuff in terms of your life? Like you just lost 2 hours watching garbage? No?
Gotta take Carb a chance sometimes, man. Gotta take a chance.
But guys, I feel bad for D-Rank because he brought up an interesting point. And I know that money is the issue, and he said he knows money is a thing, but does it change anything for you guys? For me, it does not. Chris Nolan has 3 Batman movies. It's done. I actually find that the artistic integrity, wherever it is kept there because they're not diluting the franchise. They're just, that will forever be the trilogy of Nolan.
This is Chris fucking Nolan, man.
No, but I mean, the trilogy with Tobey Maguire. Those are the 3 Tobey Maguire trilogy movies. So it's funny. You see a different take. It's like when in comic book writers and artists, a new artist comes along. That's the way I see it. So you're just seeing a new take on a superhero. So I don't think that's a bad thing. Because those things do make money and you have a licensing issue, I get that you have to keep making them, but I find that fun. For example, like D-Ren, James Bond rebooted. You didn't mind?
Yeah, but that's kind of it stayed within like the same company. It's the reason why they technically rebooted themselves was because it got kind of ridiculous. Like it happened a couple times in the series, Diamonds Are Forever, where he was driving like a lunar buggy and stuff like that. Moonraker, where they were fighting in space because they wanted to make a movie to kind of Star Wars came out recently, so they wanted to bank in on that. So they had like soldiers in space fighting, you know, and it rebooted again with like Die Another Day when that was just a ridiculous like FX movie and like
It wasn't a reboot. The reboot was GoldenEye, no?
No, well, no. The reboot was after Die Another Day. It rebooted with Casino Royale. They took the first novel, grounded it more. Kind of had like an origin story type thing that we really never got in like Dr. No. So it was kind of interesting what they were doing. He got his 007 number. You see in the opening scene, so it was pretty cool.
So yeah, but how is that different than Spider-Man then? Same company, different actor, different vision, more grounded. I mean, how's it different?
I guess because I understand what you're saying. Like, they're different actors and stuff like that. It's I guess you're right. I guess it is a reboot.
You know what the thing is? I think the Bond series is timeless. The Bond series is timeless. It's a whole different. You can't compare it.
No, but guys, why does Bond have to be the only one? Why can't Batman be?
It just is. It doesn't have to be. It just is. That's the way it is.
To me, we didn't need another origin story.
For Spider-Man, you're saying?
Yeah, we didn't need his the retelling of how he became from Peter Parker to Spider-Man.
Especially when it happened like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it was so close. I mean, so close. From emo Spider-Man being retold to Spider-Man who never wears a mask, it was too close of a time.
Actually, what's funny, the origin story is not just one movie. It's both movies were his origin story. Because it dealt with the dad and why he's Spider-Man and all that, yeah. Anyways, cool.
A random question here. How come superhero movies, the fucking hero always has to take off his mask 30 times during the movie? And this is Spider-Man is so fucking guilty of this.
But did you watch Judge Dredd? The movie Dredd?
Yes, I saw Dredd. That was the exception.
Okay, and what about Superman?
What? He doesn't take anything off,
exactly,
you idiot.
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to. I'm just messing with you.
Because you're hiring the actor for their face, so they
gotta
put their
stuff. I'm a cop, you idiot!
Entire time.
Yeah, it's for the face. That's what's cool. That's why Dredd has so much integrity. Also, guys, to bring it back to my stuff, there's a movie called Frank with Michael Fassbender. And it's actually about a musician who wears a papier-mâché mask. And Fassbender is the main actor. And he never takes it off for the entire movie. So that's also interesting. Anyways.
Yeah.
Exactly. Up until this podcast, I really didn't have any idea what to talk about. But I think I'm going to go with...
Shaky Cam!
Well, no, we've talked quite a bit about that.
I've got a friend. He's coming soon. He's going to be on this podcast.
And normally I would say some Resident Evil stuff, but we talked enough about that as well. I'm actually going to go with...
Should that be rebooted, Kevin? I mean, Kevbo, should that be rebooted?
You'll have to listen to the archive episode, the Resident Evil retrospective, to answer that.
And first, and that's on delay right now because Mila is all prego.
Yeah, I thought that was very selfish of her.
Yeah.
But I'm going to talk about ending a TV series with a movie because it's something we've heard of for a while with 24.
And the rest of development, too.
MacGyver.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not MacGyver. Shut up. MacGruber? But no, yeah, we don't acknowledge that movie.
I watched MacGruber.
That movie is hilarious.
Stop it. No, but like with Arrested Development, there's been rumors of a long time with 24 about
Game of Thrones.
That's the big one. I was gonna say, like, I think it's a great idea because, you know, like, say something like Game of Thrones, even though it has a massive budget, it's still limited to a TV budget. So, like, at the end of a series, whether there be something like The Walking Dead, even something like Arrow, you know. I think it would be a great way to end a series is by having a movie where they can have a budget, even if it's something like $20 million or $25 million, just so like TV producers could kind of do what they wanted to do with not an unlimited budget, with a bigger budget. So I guess I was wondering what everyone thinks of that. Is it a cop-out to maybe the TV show where we dedicate 7 years to the show and then we're going to have a movie? Or is it something that is a good way to kind of conclude a show?
But Kibble, you're talking like it never happened before. It did many times.
I'm trying to think of...
It happened with Firefly. It happened with X-Files. And it happened...
Yeah, but those weren't theatrical releases.
Yeah, they were.
But...
Not Firefly.
Yeah. Serenity.
Time.
Yeah.
Huge.
No deal.
No, but see, I would say Firefly, at least, it's a different case because it was canceled. And even X-Files, like, weren't they kind of separate stories?
No. And what about Twin Peaks? Twin Peaks did the same thing. There was actually a whole prequel was the movie. So you finally got to know how Laura Palmer died.
No, but it's not something that happens very often.
It doesn't happen like soon after the series ends, probably, right?
Well, that's the thing. Like for Game of Thrones, you have like your 7 years, whatever, 7-8 years. And then you go, say a year later or 6 months later, you have a big movie to end it. And is it kind of copping out to the TV show when you're doing this, or is it like, to me, it's something I would love to see.
Well, Kibble, I'll tell you one thing. As long as it doesn't ruin the tone, I don't mind. Because the thing that was fun about TV is that usually, because you're dealing with a different medium, you have to adapt to it, and you have a whole new tone being created. So like with Firefly, you can have a lot of sci-fi action. So instead it was mostly dialogue, was a far more witty that way, and you felt closer to your people. To the people you're watching. But then in the film, because it went all big budget, there was a lot more action and the interactions were lost. So I actually really despise the movie. I much prefer the TV show because the budget, made them have to be more inventive with the show itself. However, in Game of Thrones, if it does conclude with a giant fight of, I don't know, the snow giants versus the dragons that we all expect to see, right? Then yeah, a movie would be really cool in that sense.
I think it depends on the show.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if they could, say, end on Breaking Bad, if they were to have ended on a movie, a theatrical release, and really put some money into it and have a big build-up, I think that would have been kind of cool.
I think it would technically be a cop-out. If you don't have your series finale as a TV show, you're kind of like, it's kind of a cop-out. Like, you're almost like selling out. But adding to that, I would love to see like them concluding a show and then maybe having a standalone movie like a year or 2 years later. Like, for example, I would love to see a big budget version of like, it's one of my favorite shows, Arrow. I think that would like work well with something like 30, 40 million that would work amazing on the big screen.
Why not end, say, season 4 on like throwing a bunch of money at it and really like make it an impactful, have that buildup of the 10 episodes or 20 episodes and then end on this massive high note?
Well, like, you mean the series or the season?
I say the series or the season. I mean, series, obviously.
I think D-Ren brings up a good point where your series, like your TV series finale, is most likely going to be anticlimactic because they're going to keep it for the movie. But I also disagree where I don't necessarily want something where they wrap up the show and then they do a movie that feels like a cash grab, but not like connected, but not really connected to the story. Like, I'd prefer to, like, if I have Game of Thrones, I want the conclusion to be the movie. I don't want them to conclude the TV show and then we'll say, okay, let's have a kind of standalone movie, because then it feels like the integrity is going to, you know, they're going to lose the integrity because it's basically seeming like a cash grab. But at the same time, are you going to compromise the integrity of the show by giving it a lackluster finale, a TV series finale? So,
do you think it would be more of doing what kind of Doctor Who does now? Season premieres or season finales, just regular TV shows, but they release it theatrically as well. Or they make theaters available to watch it in a group setting.
Well, they did that for the finale of Game of Thrones, which I think, by the way, is a fantastic idea. But like, even though I think it might be a cop-out, it's still something I want to see. I want to see that movie with, like, not just a TV show in the theater. I want to see Game of Thrones with a $50 million budget for, you know, an hour and a half movie or something like that. So I really like the idea what they're doing with Doctor Who and Game of Thrones, but I kind of want to see what they can do, like, with such an amazing show with a bigger budget than they have.
Do you think they could do something where they release, say, the last episode of the season first theatrically only?
Major issue with that is they're going to lose a lot of money in advertising. Their advertisers will get so pissed off about losing that money that they would very well say, fuck you, if you do this, you're not making our money. And then that'll go to like HBO, let's say, for Game of Thrones, and then HBO will go like, no, we're not losing this money.
I think you put like a Coca-Cola ad placement in Game of Thrones.
No, where are you going to put all your ads for Game of Thrones? Exactly.
Well, technically,
he's going to have like an HP laptop.
Well, technically, at least for Game of Thrones, there's no commercials, so.
Yeah, it's Mazda. HBO. You pay for the channel. So.
No, but still, like, I understand the point Karp's making, but you take something like Arrow, where your season finale or your series finale is probably going to be one of your highest rated episodes of the whole run, and you're not giving that to advertisers.
Yeah, to CW or whoever. CW would basically tell them, fuck you, you're not doing this. We own your property rights right now. If you even think about doing this, you're done.
So then in that case, it'd be better to just have it end with, instead of having the final show be in the movies, you have a whole movie in the end, right? Which is what Kibble brought up in the first place.
But I only want it if it's a continuation of the story.
And at the same time, I mean, they've got that built-in audience too. Game of Thrones is the, I think, most popular show on television.
It's actually Walking Dead, but...
Okay. But, I mean, it's one of the highest. So, you know, you've got that built-in audience already ready in a second go to the theater just to see what they could do with that kind of money.
Yeah, exactly. So
awesome. All right. I think we're going to close the show here. We're getting in about an hour. So this is the first ever random roundtable. If you guys want to hear more of this stuff, let us know. Hashtag OSAssToMouth, OSATM. Yeah, so for Heavy Set, Will, Carp.
Plugs.
What?
Plugs.
Oh, yeah. Heavy Set, go ahead.
Plugs. Plugs. Gotta get into the plugs.
Plugs. The plugs. We need our plugs. We need our plugs. I'm going bald. I need plugs.
He's like, I need the plugs. Stable Wars, it really does need new members, and I gotta let these people know.
We need new members.
They might not know that
Stable Wars
needs new members.
Table Wars. Spanish announced Table Wars. Go ahead.
Well, that's after we debut the French announce table.
Le French announce table.
Where at least someone on the show can speak French, huh? I don't hear anybody speaking Spanish, huh? I don't hear anybody speak Spanish on the show.
That's a good point. Yeah, les cinq questions.
Anyway, just www.kfasports.com. NFL Easy Picks is... We're starting on the swing of things. We already have first week's episode... Or week one's episode last week, and like 20 more episodes to go.
Will, plugs, final thoughts.
Alors, si vous voulez, vous pouvez aller à comicbooksftw.com.
What?
Ouais, parce que vous allez avoir plein d'interviews.
What?
If you would
like,
if you guys are curious for more cosplay interviews, please visit comicbooksftw.com.
Cosplay chicks. And there's also Will. And
by the way, just saying, there's also cosplay men. Let's not be too sexist here.
You had to go there, didn't you? All right, Carp, plugs, final thoughts.
Stable Wars!
As always, StableWars.com. If you like wrestling or life itself, you're going to want to join the website.
If you want to live, you better go to the site.
I suggest you join Stable Wars.
Do you need new members?
We like some new members. We don't mind. As long
They're
as you're not you know, total noobs them. Or whatever, we don't mind.
Carp likes members.
Yeah, StableWars.com. StableWars.com.
StableWars.com.
And check out D-Ren. NXT TakeOver.
Yeah, on the WWE Network for only...
$9.99.
$11.99. Hey, they were doing that in Baltimore, so fuck that.
He was on
That's
Raw.
That's how over he is.
A douchebag plugs final thought.
I'm going to plug the best football league in the world, and it's not the NFL, or it's definitely not the CFL. It's the AFL. I recently watched Australian rules football, and I'm a big addict, and it's...
Fuck the Aussies, dude. They're fucking garbage.
It's skilled.
They can't even afford equipment.
Wait a minute. The AFL, wasn't that bought up by the NFL in the 70s?
60.
No, that's the Arena Football League, I think, but this is Australian rules football.
Yeah, I thought, why are you, like, marking out over the Arena Football League?
No, this is a totally different sport. It's like rugby, but like more action packed and more skilled.
No teeth required.
And they don't wear equipment.
They can't afford the equipment. That's the difference.
It's a very violent sport, and there's a lot of skill with kicking. And
there's no skill.
Is it soccer, D-Ren?
No,
yeah, it's soccer with a football. Because
you said football. So is that like soccer?
No. It's more like it's a combination of rugby where they have to go to the other side of the field and they have to kick through a post. But
it's like a pussified rugby, right?
No. There's tackling involved and there's.
I know. I'm just messing. Yeah. I'm just pissing off the.
Basically, audio. The big difference is like if they kick the ball 15 meters and the player catches it, they kind of it's called the mark.
This is an American show. They don't know what the fuck meters
mean. Yeah, meters. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Australian.
We speak
football.
American here. Okay.
Look. Heavy. If you don't know what a meter is, it's 100 centimeters.
And they don't know what centimeters are. Right.
What the hell is your 10 decimeters talking about?
All right, Kembo Trek, plugs, final thoughts.
No plugs, but I'll just say I thought it was a really fun episode to do, and I hope we have more like this in the future.
EllaPhotography.ca. So for Heavy Set, Will, Car, Please, and Go on Stable Wars, Douchebag Ren, and Kembo Trek, this is Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
Based on the dark, brooding comic that became a children's cartoon that became the worst musical tour of all time, comes a 90s movie that proves the Turtle franchise was ridiculous way before Michael Bay got his hands on it.
Skipping stones, I must move the pain of life.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. The men in creepy rubber turtle suits are back in the hit sequel that held up much better when you were a kid. Featuring cheesy fight sequences, outdated 90s references.
Remind me to drop a line to Ralph later!
Corny freeze frames, and bad cosplay.
Shredder!
I guess it looks better than ugly CGI. Ugh. Your favorite turtles have returned to kick some shell. But this time, due to stupid parent complaints about the first movie, watch as their iconic weapons stay glued into their holsters and instead see them fight with belts, yo-yos, ties, blankets, soft Nerf bats, sausages,
combat conquer,
and words.
Can we talk, Shredder? You gotta listen to reason!
Come on, just stab somebody already. Get ready to hang ten with these four overly large trained ninjas who are terrible at hiding. Being silent. Or sneaking around. Oh, did they get stuck in a net? Sure would be great if they could use their swords or something. I mean, come on, he's got them right there on his back. What are they doing? In a world full of cartoon characters and action figures you loved, spend more time with these human characters you don't, like Kino, an obnoxious little twerp.
Dream on, dweeb.
But when I do, I'll dream of something a little thinner.
This boring science guy, and this completely random lady who calls herself April O'Neil. Did the people who made this even like the cartoon? Where's Krang? Slash? Baxter? So bogus. The Shredder has returned. And returned. And returned. And he probably smells like shit now. Watch him strike fear into the hearts of men with his ability to stand and do nothing while his enemies are right in front of him. And his Lieutenant Tatsu, who also stands and does nothing while his enemies are right in front of him. Together, they'll recruit a city inexplicably filled with martial arts trained teenage runaways who vastly outnumber our heroes, yet can't ever seem to take out four slow dudes in huge rubber turtle suits. Why are they dancing? Tremble as they battle for control of the secret of the ooze, which is never really explained now that I mention it, but for some reason can turn turtles into ninja turtles. turn flowers into bigger flowers, and turn bebop and rocksteady into two lame-ass ripoffs that no one ever asked for. So gear up for a kid's action flick so terrified to show any fun ninja action. Its climax consists of taking out the Shredder with a guitar solo. Taking out the Super Shredder with a bridge collapsing on itself. And a Vanilla Ice concert. When do they have time to coordinate this shit? Stop dancing with Vanilla Ice. Stop it! What are you doing? No, ninja! No, ninja! No! Starring the Blue Ranger, Wreck-It Ralph, Bart Simpson, Nerdatello, Ratness Neverclean, Surf Ninja, Asian Darth Vader, April's mom, and Justin Bieber's dad, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. So parents were mad about them using their weapons, but totally okay with them advocating an all-pizza diet? Psh, hypocrites.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge.
Oh my God!
News and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.